You're listening to the Choose to Be podcast with hosts Alana Gordon and Amy Woolsey. As you join us each week, we will provide you with tools, resources, and knowledge to help you navigate your healing journey. Choose recovery, choose healing, choose you.
Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thank you everyone for joining us. We are back together. There's been several episodes with us not together in a couple different interviews. We've been on vacation and now actually Alana and I are on vacation together. We are in the same space. And it's exciting to be back and having these conversations. We're talking today, a question, comment came up, and there's so many different, like Alana was saying just a minute ago, there's so many different roads that we can go down with this particular question that came in. But ultimately, what I think, Alana, would be helpful just to start right off is the part of the question that talks about how she feels like she has to pretend to be happy. She has to hide those very real, raw, hard emotions that she's feeling that are authentic. And then, but I have to hide them. I have to pretend to be happy in order to keep the peace, or I have to pretend to be happy because if I'm not and I am authentic and real with my emotions, then there might be a consequence to that from her partner. And so there's a lot of different things she says in here about vulnerability and honesty, but I think let's just start here with, first of all, when you feel like you have to pretend, when you feel like you can't really say, you know what, I'm not okay today, I just want to validate how hard that is. I want to validate that word pretend. I don't know. That's standing out to me right now. How much pretending we do, just in general, I think as women, pretending. When you have to pretend to feel something that you're really not feeling, that can be really, really hard. And especially when you're healing from betrayal trauma and you're trying to repair the relationship. Like it's not going to happen. You're not going to heal the relationship by pretending. So then what? And I feel like that's what she's asking here too, is how do I be real?
I think that line right there, you're not going to heal your relationship by pretending, is so important and probably painful for some people to hear. Because when you feel like you have to, that's your only option, that I have to go along to get along, then hearing that is crazy of like, okay, well, what do I do then? How do I be authentic if the way that they respond to it isn't okay? Either they shut me out and reject me, or they get angry and they get escalated, or I get punished in some way, then how in the world am I supposed to be authentic? Mm-hmm. And almost in that is, I can't be authentic because of how this person or these people might respond. So I see a lot of people get stuck there.
Yeah. Which that I think plays into the part of how can I be vulnerable with my authentic, real hard feelings when they're not validated? And I think sometimes there's a tricky piece in there as well of, and you were mentioning this earlier, what does validation mean to you in that scenario? Is it that they agree with your emotions? So if I say, you know what, I'm actually feeling really hurt, I'm feeling really triggered today, and that's me, my authentic self, and they don't agree, you shouldn't be triggered right now, or maybe they just don't say anything. And now you're walking away feeling like, well, I wasn't validated. And so, see, I can't be real. See, I can't share my feelings. And that's where we get tangled up as well as that validation piece.
I almost feel like there's these steps where we have to rewind to even figure out of what the heck is authenticity. Is it important? Does it matter? How do I access that? Because there is a certain place that I need to be able to step into this place myself before I can go in and feel confident to share that with another person and not need them to show up in a certain way or offer that validation. While relational healing, we actually do need those things. But for me to be okay just being where I am, I almost feel like we have to rewind a little bit and give just some basic foundational pieces of authenticity. Because I remember when I started my journey, and even when I was in grad school, I didn't understand the depth of the importance of authenticity. And I didn't understand what that really meant and why it was so important to be able to live an authentic life for me to be mentally and emotionally stable.
Yeah. So tell me more about that. When you say that deep authenticity, what does that look like for you now?
Well, I just think about so many people are living their lives, and I did, of I was conditioned and socialized to show up to make sure everybody else's feelings were good, everyone else's environment was good, be a people pleaser. And so it was so hardwired in me to put aside my own needs or wants or desires. Sometimes they would certainly come out, but I would like push myself to exhaustion, making sure that everything else was taken care of. And I was always this byproduct. And then that was even my own thoughts and feelings, emotions. Those got shoved down until they couldn't. And then they would blow up.
Come out sideways.
Yeah. But this thought of being authentic in what I was really experiencing meant that there was a level of learning how to accept my feelings as real and valid, learning how to understand what was actually happening within me, understanding that socialization that had happened, understanding that conditioning. And I use that word conditioning very specifically of, you do this, you get this reward. You do this, you get this punishment, which reinforces over and over these mindsets. And so unraveling all of that and learning that stepping into authenticity equals a certain level of freedom. Stepping into authenticity builds self-esteem. Authenticity builds confidence. It helps your body be able to relax because you're not shoving down your true authentic self. You're actually learning how to embrace it, which still you can bring in your values of taking care of other people, but you do it in a way that's balanced. So that's like my brain's going all these different directions because there's so much. And I'll just say, go start reading Brené Brown about authenticity, because I think that there's so much there that it is important to have a foundation of to really be able to be free enough to step into relationships and be willing to be authentic and risk putting yourself out there no matter how they respond to it.
Yeah. Maybe it's just because I've been reading and studying parts work. But as you were talking, what thought came to my mind about authenticity? And when you want to lean in and share your authentic self, I'm looking at it like, okay, if I'm sharing with you, Alana, I feel hurt. And I'm sharing that with you. Am I sharing hurt from the exile hurt or pain or betrayal? Like, is that the part that's speaking right now? Or is it that my higher self has looked at hurt part, and this is that individual work and individual validation that I would give myself first? Like, oh, I see this part of me that is hurt, and getting curious with that first, having compassion and connection with my higher self in this part first, and then I can take that part with me, my higher self, that authentic me, to you and communicate. But I think sometimes we're communicating from anger part or hurt part or betrayed part. And then we're like talking to the other person and saying, why aren't you validating this part? When the only validation that can truly heal and like be honored is from you, your higher self. Does that make sense? Like, that's where my brain just went.
Yes, I was 100% with you until that last line. Mm. Because there's so much healing that happens in co-regulation as well. And so.
But I have to do me first.
Right. We have to be able to do the work to be able to access. And that's what I'm saying. to access that higher, true, authentic self, to be able to access that, to know and to tap into that deeper sense of self. And I'm afraid that as we're talking, because we're talking at this like higher level and in depth, that those who are in the beginning are going to be like so lost right now. So my brain is like spinning of how do we simplify this for those who are just starting? Because when we're talking about the higher self, maybe that would be a good pause right here, Amy, is for those who are just starting, like, what does that even mean when you say, tap into my higher self?
So on a very basic level, I love just having clients part themselves out, and let's just start with four. And let's just start with four circles on a piece of paper. And the top left circle is going to be you, your higher self. That is your, whether it's your spirit, your soul, your God part, however you want to look at that. But this is the part of you that is inherently good and whole and complete and enough, no matter what you do or don't do. This is the part that is not less because of your trauma or how you feel, whatever. So whole, complete. And I just put 100% in that bubble. Then on the right top circle, put brain. And then the bottom left, body. The bottom right, emotions. And let's just start there with parts. And then what I want you to do is draw a circle around brain, body, and emotions. And that is your human experience. And you, your higher self, is over here. Just that's what we want to tap into, the whole part of you. So if we talk, when I was saying earlier about hurt part, okay, there's my emotions. So if I'm coming to you, Alana, and my hurt part is talking, what I'm wanting really for you to do is make that hurt part go away. I want you to say something, validate, agree, whatever, to make hurt part go away. But what I'm saying is that me, and only me, my higher self, can comfort, get curious, and choose when hurt can relax a little bit, not be so activated. Because, and that is such a key foundational piece for me, because a lot of women won't get their partners to ever help them co-regulate. And So, yes, that is really helpful when we're healing the relationship. But if we don't understand and learn that first to do ourselves, you're going to be stuck. And you're going to, whether with this relationship or another one, constantly seeking for someone else to heal that hurt part, that emotion.
Exactly. And thank you for slowing all of that down, because I really want those who are just starting on this journey to hang with us on this, because I think that's where we see the biggest heightened emotions and the biggest fears come up of showing to the other person these emotions. And so, yeah, totally agree with everything you said. So when you said that one line of like, they have to do it all by themselves, I know, like, there's certain women in my head, they'll shut off letting anybody else in, whether it be a partner or even a therapist or a coach or safe people, because it's like, no, I have to do this. I got this. And this primary work within yourself, I think, is really essential. In IFS, they have the 8 C's that they use to describe what is, you know, when you're in that higher self, that you'll have these 8 C's. And they are compassion, curiosity, clarity, creativity, calm, confidence, courage, and connectedness. And so if you're not able to tap into those things, then we know that, right, it's a part that's showing up instead of our true authentic self. But those parts show up to be able to give us information about ourselves. And so we love our parts. They're all there to help us, even the ones that feel destructive. And we can learn from them and take from them and then be able to dissect that into our higher self and to be able to understand. What I see with betrayed partners is if they don't do that work to understand it for themselves, like you said, that part goes charging in, And it's funny because my brain is hyperactive today because I've seen a million different roads and a million different scenarios. A partner runs in without having done this work. Often they show up in this, I'm going to go dump all of this. And then I want you just to hold it. And we talk a lot about holding pain and holding pain. Your partner will be able to so much better support you and hold it when you have already sorted through a lot of those parts that are showing up. It doesn't mean that you can't talk to your partner and share the hurt, the anger, the fear, and those other feelings that we would deem negative. You still get to share those, but instead of just verbally vomiting all over them because you haven't done any work around it, now you're showing up and you're sharing with them what your understanding has been, what your clarity has been. You're able to show up in a way to give these feelings from a place now of your own understanding.
Yeah, it's the difference between the difference between holding and fixing.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I think we show up with those emotions and we want them to fix the hurt and the pain and the raw, whatever that is, rather than, like, I love what you said there. Here's what I'm recognizing and realizing around my hurt. So it's almost like this ownership. And that's where it's hard too, right? Is we part of doing this work and parting yourself out and separating you, who you are, from your emotions, which that's a thing too, right? That's the purpose of putting these bubbles out on paper, seeing that you aren't your body, your brain, and your emotions. So we can get that distance there and create some space within ourselves to tap into curiosity and connectedness. But you're like, okay, here's what I have discovered about my hurt. Here's how I've been impacted and why hurt is showing up for me. And then you're letting that person know there's the authenticity, there's the vulnerability. But where I think partners can get stuck is, okay, I just told you this. So what are you going to do to fix it? Okay, I just told you why I'm hurting because of you. So what are you going to do to fix my hurt? That's where I think we get stuck, because now it's like, see, he didn't hold space for it because he didn't fix it. And he didn't say, you're right, I'm wrong, and here's what I'm going to do to fix your hurt. I can't be authentic and I can't be vulnerable because he didn't validate that.
So what would you suggest?
Well, like we've been talking about, it's, and so many of our listeners are like, oh my gosh, stop saying this, but slow it down. I think just slowing it down for yourself and draw those four circles out on paper. And just identify what is really authentically showing up for me. What are these parts that are speaking right now? Rather than rushing to the partner and say, here's how I'm feeling and now you need to fix it. This is me. This is, I'm authentic and I'm being real right now. Hold, pause, slow that down and get curious for yourself first. That's what I would say always start with. You can never go wrong with just slowing it down.
I feel like that slowing it down for so many of our women hear that and they're like, yeah. But to actually slow it down in the busyness of all of the things that you have going on is not something that will just happen. It's something that you really have to set aside a time for and make happen. For my couples who are doing a separation, one of the number one benefits that they will often report in the separation is they will set aside a dedicated time, in essence, to really do their work, to journal, to process, to feel, to unravel. And then a lot of times when they come back together relationally, that time that they set aside to do this gets, I don't want to say thrown out the window, that sounds too harsh. It gets lost in the extra demands of having another person around. And that's one thing I will request over and over and over again is I'll speak for my separated ones first, when they're coming back, do not lose that time that you were setting aside that was working. And for those who are not separated and who are working actively on a relationship, or those who are separated or single, make that time happen. No matter what, you have to set aside a dedicated time because this type of work just doesn't happen just sitting in your head. It has to be something that you are actually sitting down, putting dedicated time to, and way more effective if you're actually writing it out.
Yeah, it is. And the more you practice, I'll speak for myself, the more I have practiced this, I can do a lot of that in my head within myself first. But I want to just validate what you said right there. When I do take time to write it out, I do find more. I do see even more. So you can get to the point where you have to sit down and write out every single time. But when you do, you will see into yourself even more. It's a really beautiful practice to just adopt and make a ritual in your everyday life. But I think ultimately, as we wrap up, Alana, as I think about the conversation we've had, what I personally would really love women to walk away with here is getting curious for yourself, the difference between being able to authentically, like, be you, not pretending to be happy all the time. You can feel and you can show up that way. Are we showing up that way to make the other person feel, right? Like, I'm going to show up angry or hurt or pain or whatever that emotion is so that they will finish that sentence.
However, or in hopes that they will.
Or in hopes that they will. That would be my little pink flag guy. Like, okay, hold on. I'm now actually not being true to myself. I'm doing this because I'm trying to get a result that requires actually giving my power away. So I'm going to just let myself feel, get curious about what that part is. And then if I want to be vulnerable in the relationship and share what I'm experiencing after I've gotten curious about my experience, then I can let my partner know, here's what's been happening for me. Here's what I've been noticing, and here are the emotions that are coming up for me. And then at that point, I don't need my partner to fix that emotion. Holding space for me would be the listening, maybe him getting more curious and asking questions to that, and me being able to further share my thoughts and my experience around it. But if I walk away still feeling authentic hurt or pain, that's okay. That doesn't mean that the whole conversation was a failure, because I'm not looking for him to fix that, I guess. I wouldn't feel as disconnected as I think this listener was talking about, because I can still feel what I'm feeling. It's okay.
Well, it's interesting because there is a disconnect that happens relationally and a disconnect that happens internally within ourselves. And so if we show up with our authenticity and our vulnerability and we put it out on the table and they aren't able to hold that or make space for that, for whatever reason, then absolutely there will be a disconnect relationally. That will be the impact. But if I then turn that back on me, of I did something wrong and I shouldn't have shared, and then I start turning on myself, now there's a disconnect internally from what I experienced and what I knew to be truth and true in my authenticity. And so then does it become this internal disconnect as well? And so if, yes, I'm vulnerable and authentic and they can hold it and respond well or not, that's going to be the relational impact. But for me as an individual, I get to choose the level of impact on how I am able to continue to validate and own and honor my own experience. And so maybe that's the message that I would like to leave.
Cleaning that up.
It didn't need any cleaning up. It just, when you were talking, it clicked in my own head that, because my brain keeps going to like, relationally, if they don't show up or they do show up, like what an impact that is. And that's a whole nother episode for couples. But for you as an individual, you do get to be okay either way. And it starts with doing your work on the front end, and then being able to own and honor and stay with that truth.
Yeah.
no matter how the other person responds.
It's hard work. This is hard work.
It is hard. Hard and possible. I mean, good hell, if I can do it, I can keep practicing, you walk it.
Wow. Thank you for hanging out with us today as we talked about authenticity and a tad bit of vulnerability. I'm going to, again, just go check out Brené Brown's work. Also, if you are interested in more about Parts work, All Together You by Jenna, is it Reimerson? That's one that's highly recommended. Or No Bad Parts by Richard Schwartz. So thank you for hanging out with us. And as always, we look forward to seeing you next week.
You know what really helps you to stay grounded, learn how to validate yourself, and feel those authentic emotions is learning some tools to help you. Support groups, well, at least our support groups, will absolutely get you the healthy support that you need to meet you where you're at and to gently help you take those wise steps forward in your journey. Check out our support group options at chooserecoveryservices.com or head over to the show notes for the link. Because choosing recovery, choosing to heal, and choosing you are within reach. Let us support you in it. Take care, everybody.